This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. It is the owner and general manager of your Dallas Cowboys, Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, folks. Good to be involved with you, Kevin, Corey, Mike. By the way, I feel a lot better than I sound, but I won't be coughing. We'll be talking.
I apologize, too, for replacing Derek. I know that Derek's your guy, Jerry.
Well, we're in good shape, and but Derek, is it Derek?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Just want to be sure I understood what you were saying.
Derek was here with us last week, Holland, and you gave him a lot of praise. Yeah. Now we're back stuck with Mike again.
Yeah. Got it. You got it. Well, Derek, was good to have on that show. I wish I'd have listened more, not mouthed as much.
Now, I know we're going to get into specifics of the game, but I was kind of hoping that you could walk us through your relationship and friendship with Bob McNair, who founded the Houston Texans before, obviously, he passed away.
Mr. Wonderful. A total, complete person, man, self-made, basically came to Houston. I think he was principally in the automobile business early. Just absolutely beat it right out of the ground. And I don't know that I ever met anybody that he spent any time around that didn't have wonderful things to say about him. He was a real leader throughout the years in the NFL, well respected. Everybody knew what he had done to put that Houston team back in the put it back into football. I wanted it so much for him to have success and for the Houston Texans to be everything they could be. A lot of people would think, well, you have all those Cowboy fans, why don't you just keep it Cowboys? Well, first of all, I don't have that wish, but I don't have that ability. But Houston deserves football. I have a long appreciation for what football means in South Texas and Houston especially. I played with some of the really great high school players in Texas. They went on and became All-Americans, really, at Arkansas, where I played. If you'd taken the Texans mostly, but the Houston players out of it, Smiley, Texas, Smiley High School, if you'd have taken them out, it would have looked like a jack-o'-lantern with no teeth in it at University of Arkansas Hall of Fame. So I got a lot of appreciation for Bob McNair.
Now, I know obviously the Astros and Rangers have a heated rivalry. It's a little different because they're in the same division. Outside of that first game against the Texans, it doesn't seem like the rivalry has been super intense with the Cowboys and Texans. Do you think someday that will be a more intense rivalry?
I would like to see us play them every year. Now, that doesn't work the way we schedule the NFL. But I'm a big fan of that, where you have some natural rivalries, and you have that here. So I'm a big fan of that. I've got a story for you, though. I appreciate your question, but when I was a senior, our coach, Frank Brawls, took us to Houston. We were playing in the Cotton Bowl, but he took us to Houston to get away from our crowds and family on New Year's Day, which the Cotton Bowl was played on. While we were down there, we took a field trip to the Astrodome. It had never had an event in it, but it was brand new and ready to go. Just a month or so later, they played a baseball game in it. I walked out there 19 years old and looked at that Astrodome with my teammates. My mouth dropped. It just was awe. It looked like Mars. How could you ever, how could it evolve to this, the Astrodome, playing football in it? What would happen? Well, to show you my point about what happens to kids, I was 19. Roll the clock forward about 25 years later, and I'm sitting here thinking about a stadium right out here called AT&T Stadium. And while I didn't know for sure how I was going to pay for it, I knew and was emboldened as a kid that a man could do it. It just didn't come from up above. A man or men could build it because I'd been in the Astrodome. And the point I'm making is what you put in a kid's mind at 19 can become even bigger than reality. You can put five of those Astrodomes inside AT&T Stadium. That's what happens with kids when you inspire them a little bit.
You know, Jerry, when it comes to this season, there's five games left for most teams, and I know that there's a possibility of, during our lifetime, maybe there's going to be 20 regular season games in a NFL season. You know, right now I'm kind of looking forward to the playoffs. Can you see a scenario where there would be eight more regular season games still to play in an NFL season right now?
I don't see that. That's too many. One more, I see. And I'm a big proponent of it. But I probably think about right there. I think that's the right level. That allows us to, as we go into the early games of the season, that allows us to have those games. You will get better if you play those games because you'll play less preseason games. You know, at one time they played six preseason games in the NFL for you history buffs. But still, I'd like to play two preseason games and 18 regular season games and been a proponent of that. But I don't see more than that.
Jerry Jones joined us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. Kelvin Joseph is now thrust into the spotlight as your corner opposite Diggs. And he had a bit of a tumultuous offseason. And then, you know, he's kind of been picked on a little bit here and there in some plays. What are your thoughts on the player and his readiness for this spotlight?
It's called go time for Joseph. It's time for him to become a man in that type of terminology. He's got to say it is time now. And that happens to young people. And he should accept a higher level of responsibility. He's got more people depending on him. He's got his teammates depending upon him. It's time to for some of the side stuff to ease its way out of his life, and it's time to get down to business. He's got a lot of people depending on him. That will make him better. It always does. He's capable of it, and we thought that when he was going through some of that initial hard times. He's very talented. He can be a good player for us.
It's interesting you say that because when we talk with Michael Irvin, accountability is something that he always talks about, accountability in practice and the way that those teams worked with each other. And we were just having this discussion. Wednesday night, I got an opportunity to talk to Nate Newton, and he said he's the third biggest Cowboys fan behind you and Michael Irvin. And but then we kind of talked about the ability to unlock the mentality of greatness of we are an elite player. And CD kind of looks like he's in that space. You just
it happens.
That, yeah.
As real as having legs and arms is unlocking what's inside you. I just thought I'd maybe done a little something when I bought the Cowboys. But I know now that just having been associated with the Cowboys, just having the opportunity, it caused me to be something and grow. And that was in my 40s when I bought them. My point is, it made me bigger than I could have ever been. That's the way it's supposed to go, and that's what Michael is talking about. And he believed in that. He had tasted it. He'd see that the more that came up and the more accountability he took, the better he got, and he was walking in territory he never thought he'd be. Hello, Michael, I'm right there with you. I'm in territory I never thought I'd be in.
You know, to follow up on that, Jerry, I was looking at Troy Aikman, and almost every year during y'all's dynasty, he had a certain quarterback rating in the regular season and then elevated it to levels never seen before.
What does it take for a certain player, Troy Aikman, you know, being the guy, to elevate your game against better opponents in the biggest moments, the do-or-die games, to become the best quarterback in the NFL?
Gets that mirror, in that mirror, and Troy's the poster child of just getting out there. Every practice, he got better. Troy would have many, many practices that there wouldn't be an incompletion in practice. And he just put himself to a standard and just kept growing it. But it's between you and the mirror. And once you see that it's there to do the problem, you know, you can put fleas in a little pint jar and put them in there, and they could jump if they never went in the pie jar. They might jump 2 or 3 feet, a flea. You let him bump his head on that lid on a pint jar, and when you put them out, they'll never go any higher. Now, I've looked at that. I'm a flea man. I'm teasing on that. But the point is, those lids for all of us are what we have to experience going higher. And then you realize with the shackles off, there's no limit to how high you might go.
Do you think then this that's just how it goes. Cowboys quarterbacks get compared to other quarterbacks. You know, winning defines quarterback greatness, fair or unfair. Do you think maybe Dak is having that moment of looking in the mirror and being like, this is my time for greatness?
Dak got here looking in the mirror. He's been trying to improve his footwork. You remember he told early his stories about how he'd go home and his mama would look at him and say, point her finger at him and say, no turnovers, no turnovers. That's your sin. No turnovers. His mother would tell him that. And so Dak has gotten here. That is his greatest quality, is how he takes something in a classroom, takes it to the practice field, looks it, works it a skillion times, and then takes it to the field. And, boy, he's got a lot ahead of him, too, that I'm looking forward to. That's his biggest value.
Now, we've been waiting to see the return to the field of James Washington. Are you anticipating that could be against the Texans, or are we still another week out?
No, he might get play time here against the Texans, and I know this. He's having some good practices. You know, he really hasn't gotten on the field for us, but we all remember him at Oklahoma State, and he did some real good things. He's got he's showing real explosiveness in his practicing, and he's definitely a player that can help us and help us now.
Jerry, this we saw a video this morning of Odell saying that he sees no reason to play in the regular season because he wants to play in the big moments in the playoffs, and that's where his focus is. I was kind of curious about your thoughts. Does that kind of feel like a bit of a slap in the face to the rest of the guys that are battling to get into the playoffs?
No, I don't look at it that way. The players that are listening to him understand rehab, and they understand that you can't go until you can go, so to speak. But I think he's got his – I know that he's got his mind wrapped around what might be a plan for the immediate future. And, of course, he's got a great future ahead of him. In all probability, he does. And the question is, can he get something and do it in a sound way for his future? Can he do it physically in a sound way and not push that beyond where it should be pushed, and at the same time help us? And that's what we're going over right now.
Okay, well, that kind of answers my question. I was about to ask, are y'all still in contact, and is there any sort of timeline for figuring out that level of help?
Well, yes, we're still in contact. Yes, yes, yes. Is there a timeline? Probably the fact that time is ticking in terms of getting in here and really initiating the heavy work on rehab in order to get there for the playoffs, if it's going to happen.
All right, so I have a question about the Houston Texans, and I know you're not the owner, general manager of the Houston Texans, but it looks like they're going to have the first pick. And I know when you bought the Cowboys, you guys had the first pick going back to Troy Aikman. They picked David Carr when they started off their organization, and he ended up not being that good of a quarterback. And a lot of people attribute that to how many times he got hit because they didn't have offensive line. So when you're building a team and wanting to maybe start with a quarterback, how important it is you put the right players around a guy, or even if the guy is really talented, let's say like a David Carr, there's no way they can succeed unless you have a team around them.
Well, let's take Aikman. You want to figure out how to be successful in the NFL, have the number one pick when you come in. I'm talking about me. Have the number one pick and have Troy Aikman sitting there that you can use it on. Now, that's brilliance, and I'm smiling. The facts are that's how fortunate I was, is to have Troy Aikman with the number one pick and us holding the number one pick. It changed everything. It was that meaningful. Troy paid the price. On the other hand, as it turned out, when you look at where we were early, we had great prospects for an offensive line. We had Nate Newton there. You had Mark Tuinei there. And so you look and see what we had. No one really appreciated the talent that we had when we got here in the offensive line. However, that had to be gelled. That had to be coached up. And Troy paid a big price. And he paid it for 2 or 3 years. And so, didn't have the kind of protection that ultimately was developed. But we were still able to, because of Troy Aikman, we were able to not impact his long-term future.
This morning with Sean and RJ, Mike McCarthy, he was fantastic, by the way, if you get a chance. He was great. He was talking very highly of Lovie Smith and the kind of rivalries they had back in the day when each of them were on separate teams going back and forth. Did you ever consider bringing Lovie Smith in and working with him?
Yes, period. I have such respect for him, and think he's an outstanding head coach. And so the answer is yes.
Have you ever seen a glorious beard like the one that he has? I mean, it is beautiful.
Well, I will say this: I don't see that as much as I see his the type of person, the type of coach he's been, the leadership he's shown. He's a real credit to the NFL.
Talk with Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Love talking with you about the Cowboys, but we also know how much influence you wield across the league. I was kind of curious if you could walk us through like the logistics on situations like this, where the report came out from the U.S. House Committee about the Commanders. Does each team read that individually? Do y'all have a meeting about it? Like, what are the logistics about how the owners deal with something like that?
First of all, I hope our fans see how politically biased this report is. This report doesn't even come out if the Republicans were in Congress. It's that stupid. And so my point is that there's biasness all the way through. There are stories behind the stories. The facts are that Mr. Snyder's minority partners really went out a long way to try and make him sell. He ended up buying them out, but a lot of this is that. And a lot of the testimony. I was involved firsthand. I was among the handful of owners that looked at all of the transcripts, that looked at all of the messages, that looked at all of the data. This attorney is on a campaign, the woman attorney, to stop having settlements when you have workplace settlements. That's another issue, but that's a part of why this has the front that it has. And so there's a lot more there. I will say this. I'm proud of what the Cowboys have done. We have an excellent hour department, excellent. And they have been for years. We have committees of our employees. I'm not on it. My family's not on it. And we have thoroughly for a long time been involved in trying to improve our workplace. Do we have room for improvement all over? Of course we do. Everybody does. But I'm proud of where we are.
So, Jerry, I have one
more. I promise we'll go out on a lighter note.
Yes. One more question for you. I was listening to some Christmas music in
the
car.
I'm in the ER department.
I was listening to some Christmas music in the car the other day, and Johnny Cash was singing, "Bring Me Some Figgy Pudding, and We're Not Going to Leave Until We Get Some." I'm 45 years old. I've never heard of figgy pudding. I've never had figgy pudding, but Johnny Cash wasn't leaving that home till he got some figgy pudding. Have you ever had figgy pudding?
No, I haven't, and I'm not so sure I know that one either, but that may be the first thing that he's ever sung about or issue he's ever sung about that I didn't know about, or that really may be. But, I love for him to sing those songs at 2 feet high and rising. Mm-hmm. Well, he lived down there where they had to deal with those floods almost every time it rained, and So I'm a great fan of Johnny Cash. You know, other than Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash was one of the greatest live entertainers that there's ever been. Mm-hmm. Was one of the few that ever turned his back for a lot to the audience. And he would turn that back, Man in Black, and play those songs and look at that band and then turn back around. And he was electric when he played before a crowd.
You got to see both Elvis and Johnny Cash in person?
I did, yeah. Gene and I have been a great fan of Elvis all of our lives, and we would go to see him play. I watched him in the stadium in Tennessee, an open-air stadium. We went to New York and watched him in Madison Square Garden, but I used to see him play early. There in Arkansas, he would play in Little Rock several times, and it was just unbelievable. We'd never seen anything like that. That was the initial stages of rock and roll, and so I'm a great fan of Elvis.
Man, what an outstanding high to go out on. Thank you very much, good sir, and obviously we're hoping to beat down the Texans this weekend.
I'll have a blue without you. Guys, good morning.
Thanks, there Jerry. You go. Yes. Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 Wow. The Fan. And
he was on one today, huh?
What I'm sure will be the most noteworthy part of that conversation.
The song?
Yeah, the song.
And y'all were laughing over him. Y'all were all over. Like
I didn't expect many things.
That's going to make national headlines right there. Him singing the song.
Yeah. Oh, God bless you.
Thank you very much.
You couldn't even say it. You couldn't even say it again, dude.
He's tried in his own private time and knows he can't say it, so he doesn't even bring it up anymore.
I got to mark that on my chart.
I was going to ask him about Jason Garrett in terms of the Stanford head coaching job, but then you saw, I believe it was last night.
Jason Garrett said, no, I'll see y'all later.
Yeah, I kept thinking about what we had talked about the scouting and the recruiting and everything like that. He was like, I'm going to stick with Notre Dame football and Sunday Night Football. And I thought, just from like a work perspective, that not that those broadcasters don't work uber, uber hard, but I compared to like your life has to be recruiting as a college coach, that might not have been the worst idea in the world. Have you liked Jason Garrett as a broadcaster? I don't know how much Notre Dame.
I haven't loved him, but I think it's kind of boring.
I think there were a couple things. It was interesting to hear him and Dungy talking about Brock Purdy, Mike,
I don't think that
is the case.
He was talking about that, and he's like, "Look, man, this is a pretty." It's not a risky move. It's one of those moves where you're sitting there in the draft room, and he was talking about that with Dungy, and you just make a pick. and you're saying, you know, let's go take a risk on this Purdy guy, kind of like they did with Dak. I thought that was interesting. Then he said Cowboys by 40 last week, so that was pretty cool too.
Man, and that ended up we ended up getting close. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will talk about some of those baseball signings, but also Dallas Cowboys insider Mickey Spagnuolo right here on 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.